At least 30,000 Somali immigrants live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Many of them happen to be Muslim. Now officials at the local Department of Health are trying to figure out if children from these Somali families are being hit hard by rates of autism. The children are ill, sometimes hurting themselves. Parents are concerned. But the question is, are these cases random or part of an epidemic? Donald McNeil wrote a story for today's New York Times called An Outbreak of Autism or a Statistical Fluke. He's with us in studio. Donald, thank you. And do we know if there really are more cases of autism, or is this more anecdotal?
Well, I actually thought the headline on the story was unfortunate, because I really wrote the story to talk about how what appears to be a surge in autism is terrifying the Somali community in Minneapolis. But to Somali parents who've noticed it, and to pediatricians who've noticed it among their patients, and to some people in the Minneapolis school system who treat kids with autism or run the special education classes, they see an enormous surge there. That 25% of the kids in the youngest special education classes for autism in Minneapolis are Somali, and only about 6% of the kids in the whole Minneapolis school system are Somali. The Minnesota Health Department is essentially saying, look, let us do the hard research we need to do in order to show that this is there, which means one, trying to get an exact handle on how many Somalis there are in Minneapolis and how many what percentage of the kids in the school system are Somali, and then to diagnose the kids medically, because they've been mostly diagnosed by special education people in the schools who've said this child has autism. But we're not talking about autism, you know, mild autism spectrum disorders like Asperger's. We're talking about serious, full-blown autism with, complete lack of communication, complete lack of eye contact, kids not speaking, kids flapping their hands. I mean, what we know is as full-blown autism.
And in general, based on your reporting, these symptoms manifest themselves after the families become citizens in this community in Minnesota, or what?
The apparent epidemic is mostly among kids who have been born in the United States. There are some kids who've been born in Somalia or in refugee camps in Kenya or Ethiopia or elsewhere, who have autism, but by and large, the big surge in Somalis coming to Minnesota was an early surge in 1993 or so, and then there was a big surge in the year 2000, and it's among those kids, the kids 2 to 9 years old, that this is being noticed.
You mentioned that there's no word in Somali for autism, and people, you describe how one person says, well, yeah, we just kind of call it crazy. I mean, is
that's different. Sorry. When they were saying that, they were saying we have words for schizophrenia and we have words for things like Down syndrome. We've seen that before. But our word isn't schizophrenia. It's more like, it's more like your word for crazy. But they say there is no word for this. They call them the silent children, or the American disease, or the Minneapolis disease,
the
autismo.
American disease. That's interesting.
You can hear the frustration, though, in that linguistic attempt to describe.
I mean, I appreciate you setting me straight on that. I think that, the frustration that you describe is very clear from the families. Do they think that if you call it the American disease, do they think that this country, either through air, water, toxins, culture, is responsible somehow for their children being dangerous to themselves, as the way many autistic children are?
People are confused and terrified, since no one can answer their question, what is the cause of autism? They're left flailing for themselves, trying to figure out. Now, obviously, there are anti-vaccine activists who are coming into Minneapolis and saying, it's those vaccines you're giving your kids. You should stop vaccinating your kids. And some parents.
And the fact that they're Somalis supplies an argument. Well, obviously, they weren't vaccinated over in Somalia, so here you're introducing an environmental factor. It obviously must be the case. It's an opportunity for them to make the argument.
There's a flip side to that argument, and a lot of families who were born in refugee camps have actually been vaccinated at least once, and sometimes more than normal. That is, the mothers have been vaccinated more than is normal, because they get passed through the system, and when they come to the United States, they have to have all their vaccinations. So, but there are kids who've got autism who had it manifested before, while they were growing up in Somalia or in a refugee camp in Kenya, and they'd never had been vaccinated. And so there's really, in the confusion that existed about autism everywhere in the country, exists there. There are people who blame it on vitamin D deficiency. There are people who blame it on just some pollutant in America. There are hundreds of theories going around. Everybody's terrified because even the best medical authorities in the country can't answer the question, what gave your child this?
When you broaden this out to the debate, you talk about the debate over vaccines, people have all sorts of ideas about what causes autism and how to deal with it, because in fact there is so much mystery left to this. How does this fit into the big picture of how autism is being explained and explored in America?
Right now it's just a mystery, but if the Minnesota Health Authorities decide, yes, there is an unusual surge, then the next step, I'm sure, will be that they will look at other Somali communities in other cities in the country. I telephoned around to other Somali communities, but be it said, this is a completely unscientific poll. I was just asking people and saying, do you have a problem? And people were aware of what was going on in Los Angeles, but they didn't necessarily think there was a surge of autism there in Seattle, where I called, or in Lewiston, Maine. So, but on the other hand, it hasn't been studied. What's likely to come out of this, if it does turn out that there are high rates of autism among Somalis in this country, I'm sure that genetic scientists will want to say there must be a genetic factor. Let's try to do genetic typing on the families and see if they can get families to cooperate and find if they can. Because when you have a disease concentrated in a population, one of the things you want to do is study the genetics of that population in order to find out if you can find the cause.
So in the end, what do we see ahead for these families? I've been able to visit some of the Somali American communities, and there is, the only reason I mentioned Islam as the top, we've been talking about Islam today, but there is a little bit of a tight-knit quality to these communities. Just briefly, do you think that they are reaching out to the medical community and the medical community is reaching out to them?
In Minneapolis, yes, I think they are. And I think they are – one of the reasons that attracted Somalis to Minnesota was that the healthcare system is good. The welfare system is good. There is more support for them there than there is in a lot of other parts of the country. And I think the health system – the school system is trying to do something about it.
All right. Donald McNeil, thank you so much. Donald McNeil wrote a story for today's New York Times called An Outbreak of Autism or a Statistical Fluke.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.